Podcast. This is Mark.
This is Matt.
So what's on the agenda today, Matt? What's going on?
Oh, man. I think we're going to talk about that one movie where John Wick fell in love with Tank Girl, and he was trying to take down the bouncer from the Double Deuce.
Would that be Point Break?
That would be Point Break.
The 1991 action, I would say classic nowadays. Yeah, I classic. Mean, 20 years old. Not that crappy-ass 2015-16 remake they made where
they were
jumping out skyscrapers or whatever. I don't know.
And we don't do tomato meter much, but I think that thing had 6% on
Yeah, it just... I mean, the trailer was crapple. I mean, there's
just... Yeah, dude.
We're going to talk about Point Break a little bit. The 90s... There were a lot, people talk about 80s action films, but the 90s actually had some really great action films.
Yes.
And there's a lot of them they better never remake. You don't touch Point Break, even though they did and they ruined it.
Yes.
Hopefully they learn their lesson and we never get a remake of Con Air, which is awesome. The Rock.
Yes.
Or Face Off. Or what's a Terminator?
Terminator.
Well, yeah. They're going to reboot Terminator, apparently, but who knows? That's a whole other thing.
Arnold will be in it somehow.
Reboot's different than a remake.
Oh, yeah.
I think. When you essentially try to remake a film, it's just a bad idea.
Exactly.
Because,
especially
I mean, now and then maybe there's a movie that could be remade.
But. Yeah, I like Howard the Duck. We have a friend of the show, a friend familiar to the show that would love to see Howard the Duck remade. But it doesn't make sense because ducks can't talk, right? Right, Frank?
Right, or have sex, apparently.
Yeah,
I guess they could
porn.
Do that.
Duck porn.
I don't know, but don't ducks lay eggs, or do they really do it? I don't know.
I don't know. That'd be some freaky shit.
Kind of weird. But before we get into Point Break here in a minute, we want to talk real quick about one of our big inspirations for the podcast, Kevin Smith.
Yes.
Of course, people know he had a health scare last weekend. He was doing a comedy show, and he wasn't feeling well, so he went to the hospital. And I woke up Monday morning, I read the headline that Kevin Smith suffered a massive heart attack. I about freaked out.
Yeah,
because man,
shocking.
It was enough losing Carrie last year. Then we lost Bill Paxton. It's like, man, Kevin Smith would have been. I've never honestly cried over a celebrity death, but I think if it had been Kevin, I might have. This guy, man, is somebody I grew up with. We've talked about him on the show many times before. Got to meet him briefly about two and a half years ago. This may sound strange to people. It was a brief, maybe 2-minute meeting because they were rolling us through the line signing. He shook my hand, looked me out right in the eye, declared white adorable at the time. He signed my item, took a quick picture. But it was like the coolest minute and a half ever, man, because it was like, wow, this is Kevin Smith.
Anytime you get one of those down-to-earth celebrities,
yeah.
People like Kevin Smith, a couple guys that we can name from Comic Palooza we see every year. It's like those are the celebrities that you really hold dear.
And you could tell that he would love to have stood there all day and talked to everybody.
Yeah.
And because that's how he is. And so to get to meet him was really cool. And his movies and have been a part of my young adulthood, growing up watching Clerks and Mallrats and Chasing Amy and Dogma and Jay and Silent Bob and. And man, I think that was the thing. Man, we weren't going to get the Jay and Silent Bob reboot if he had passed. But he's okay. He's feeling good. He's been given updates. He says that he's renewed, that he's ready to get Jay and Silent Bob reboot made, and he wants to do as much as he can now because he feels he's living on borrowed time. And but so glad that Kevin Smith is okay because a major inspiration to us.
What a luck! I mean, he decided not to do that show that he was going to do.
Right.
And instead, he checked himself in. They said if he would have went to the show, not come in, he would have ended up dead.
Yeah, and he's tried to take better care of himself the last few years. He's lost some weight.
Yeah.
But he smokes a lot of weed. and he lives a very busy lifestyle. He travels a lot, does a lot of shows and films and cons and things like that. And it may have caught up to him some. But hopefully he's around for much longer and we get to enjoy the brilliance of Kevin Smith.
Yes.
Because it's hard to... Maybe share that through audio that people don't know what Kevin Smith has done for podcasters and for geek culture. But truly somebody I really look up to. Maybe not the drug use. Maybe not that's something I look up to. But just as a person who...
His accomplishments.
Has accomplished a lot with very little. And we strive to be like him. And I probably influence my own podcasting because of Kevin Smith and the way I talk and the way I do shows and... Things like that.
Like
so
the trench coat and wearing the hat backwards.
I wear my trench coat with nothing underneath. Yeah. Oh, wait, no, that would be Frank.
That would be Frank.
You know, we've invited, speaking of the Frank, who looks like he could be like a Silent Bob lookalike sometimes.
He could be a Silent Bob lookalike.
You know, he's got the beard if he grew the hair.
A little taller,
maybe. We've invited him to come, you know, he said, I want to be a part-time podcaster, but every time we say, hey, man, we're doing a show, he's got something to do.
I know.
Or he doesn't like that movie we're doing.
He's cherry picking. You know what? We need to draft him. We need to go in there old school style where we throw a mask over his head and then tell his wife, you'll never see your husband again, and then we'll have him back.
He's playing some Warhammer tournament. Nothing against anybody who does the tabletop gaming. Yeah. I'm just not into it.
It's just too complicated.
It's not my thing. I don't get it. I don't get spending $40 for a model that you can use one time in a battle to destroy a couple of orcs or whatever, and then you can't use it anymore. I'm like, what? I'd rather go spend $40 and buy like 6 Star Wars figures or something. That's just me.
And well, it's not that you can't use it anymore. It's like, it's just one item, and usually you need like 100.
Yeah.
And so it's like you really need like between $500 and $800 to start an army.
Yeah. Just give me a PlayStation 4 controller, and that's my video game world. Yeah. I don't need to sit there, and then set it all up on a table. I don't get that culture. But there's a lot of culture that I don't get, like bronies and, you know, there's just things that are not going to make sense to me.
People that, you know, use the little toothpicks.
Like, I'm one of those geeks that my geekdom only goes so far. I can still like talk sports and manly stuff too. And then I like my nerd culture too. But you start getting into like certain things at geek level and I'm just like, okay, I'm backing away. That's too much.
Yeah, it's too much.
That's like getting to the bow tie wearing super nerd geek culture there.
Oh yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like it's some religion that you're reciting, you know? It's too far, man.
There's only one religion, man.
That's right.
It's fucking Jedi.
That's true, man. It's a religion in the UK. Enough people reported Jedi, I think in the 2015 or 2014 consensus, that they have to recognize it as a religion.
That's right.
So is Jedi. Is this Old Republic or New Republic Jedi that you identify as, you know?
It's just Jedi.
It's just Jedi? Just Jedi. Just Jedi.
Yeah, that's it, man. And before we start talking about point break, quick announcement. The RebelRadioPodcast.com is coming soon.
Yes.
We're hoping to launch officially the Monday after Easter, April 2nd, about a month from now. So I'm building it, working and getting that ready to roll. So you're going to be able to find all the episodes there. For now, go to TrustMeOnMyJedi.com. The show's still going to be there, even after RebelRadioPodcast.com comes online. You're still going to find the show. And we just started a new Twitter, Rebel Radio Pod. Please follow us. I've been a little lazy updating it, but I'm going to do better. But Rebel Radio Pod is our new Twitter. And, of course, you can find us on all media platforms, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, iHeartRadio, Podbean. It's all the places you can find the Rebel Radio Podcast. So there's no excuse to not listen and tell your friends to listen.
No excuses.
All right, so we're going to talk about Point Break. We were talking about doing an Oscar show because the Oscars are tomorrow night.
Yes.
And I really wanted to do the Hurt Locker because it was kind of, we kind of alternate picks. It was kind of my turn to pick. And I was like, man, Hurt Locker is one of my absolute favorite movies in the last 10 years. I think it's one of my favorite war movies of all time. And it's funny because when I first saw the Hurt Locker, I didn't think much of it. I liked it, but I didn't love it. Mm-hmm. Then I talked to somebody who was a soldier, and he told me that's one of the most accurate movies he's seen.
Wow.
As far as certain things that have happened there and the way the bomb squads work. And then I read about it, and I really liked the film a lot. So I grew to like it even more. Now I watch Hurt Locker, and I think it's absolute brilliance. And it's directed by Kathryn Bigelow. And then I started looking at what she had directed when we were talking about doing the Hurt Locker, and I'm like, man, she did Point Break. And I'm like, you know what? Let's not be cliche. Now, let's not do the fucking Oscar movie. Let's back up and let's do Point Break because, man, I love this movie.
Yes.
It came out in 1991 and stars Keanu Reeves, Patrick Swayze, Gary Busey, Lori Petty, and a bunch of other actors that you've seen and stuff.
Yes.
But you don't really, they're more like character actors, you know?
Like the guy who plays Ben Hart, John McGinley?
Yeah.
Yeah. He was in Scrubs. He's always that a-hole type. He's the big a-hole.
And then what's the guy named something to Garrison's his last name? He always plays like kind of creepy guys in shows and stuff, and he's in there playing the guy who captures Lori Petty's character and is going to knife her. You know, I can never think of that. He always plays like just really kind of weird characters. And I remember seeing this movie, probably on video, because it had a huge video following. I remember it was one of the top selling DVDs when it first came out, and top selling VHSs back in the day. Mm-hmm. And that's probably why I saw. I may, high school sometimes is a blur, you know? So I might have seen this in theaters, just don't remember, you know, because I used to go to a lot of movies, you know?
I want to say they set a record for VHS sales.
Yeah, it was huge. And I might have seen it in theaters and just don't remember because, like I said, I saw a lot of movies. But I just remember thinking, man, it was the early 90s, yeah. You know? We had all those 80s action movies, right, that were very... There's a certain feel to 80s action movies, like Commando and Predator and Die Hard. They all have like a, I don't know what the right word is for those 80s action films. Like they fit in the 80s. Does that make sense?
You just know when you, it's like pornography when you see an 80s action film. You just know it when right. you see it.
You know when it's the 70s with a stash. Yeah.
And, yeah. And so, a stash, it's the 70s.
I think Point Break felt like the first movie that wasn't an 80s action film.
I could agree with that.
You know, and so I remember it being different from 80s stuff and a different attitude about it. All right. So what were your first thoughts on Point Break?
Point Break, it was...
And when you first saw it, if you remember.
Well, I really liked Patrick Swayze in it. So yeah, I was older. I don't think I even saw the movie until I was maybe 15 or 16.
All right.
So that was probably like 2000, 2001.
Well, yeah, it was rated R and you were like... five when it came out, so I doubted you watched it.
The only rated R movies that I really got to see were Arnold Schwarzenegger movies, and that's because my aunt knew I liked Arnold, and she would kind of, she was the cool aunt, so in the summer I'd get to watch all the Arnold movies I missed earlier in the year. And yeah, so Point Break, you know, it was just an all-around good movie to me, you know, at first. And you know, just not knowing what to look for, like, I, you know, I look for different things in movies now. Different things amuse me more than it did before. Like, if you asked me 20 years ago, what's the best movie ever? I would have said Sean Connery's Robin Hood because it had flaming arrows in it. Now that I watch it now, I know he goes in and out of accents.
Wait, Sean Connery? You mean Kevin Costner? Kevin Costner. I was like, wait, what? Yeah.
Kevin Costner. Sean Connery was in the movie, but he was the king. But yeah, and you know, of course it's horrible. Now, you know, you'd be like, okay, that's a horrible movie. Kevin
There's
Costner.
Things I like about that movie, though.
Morgan Freeman's great.
I'm a Costner guy. I love Kevin Costner. That's a whole other story.
Yeah, that's another story. But, you know, just a little point that, you know, you look at things different.
Right.
And before, I thought the surfing was cool. I thought the president masks were hilarious. It's kind of goofy. It makes me, you know, have a little bit, it causes me to have a little bit more fun in the movie and not see it as a robbery, but kind of like, you know, oh, we've been screwing you the whole time we've been in office. Right. So we're just here to screw you again, or whatever he said.
There's some underlying humor in it.
Yes, yeah. There's some underlying humor. So it's very well-rounded.
Yeah. No, you're right. It's one of those movies that people wonder, like, why is Point Break, almost said Pulp Fiction, Point Break become an action classic? And it's one of those movies that, at the time it came out, it did very well at the box office. It was by no means a box office thud. It made $85 million on a $25 million budget. So it did well. But it's garnered cult status over the years for being a little bit better than a lot of other action films. And at the time, like you said, people might come out and not thought much of it. It was a young Keanu Reeves who wasn't hugely known yet other than Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. Mm-hmm. And Patrick Swayze, he had done Dirty Dancing already at this point. So he was a pretty big star. And, but it's something that people rewatched on video. It's very similar to like other cult classic films like Big Trouble in Little China and things like that, that just got a following from HBO or from matinees, afternoon matinees on Fox 26 and people began to really realize how much they loved Point Break over the years. And I think it also helped that it was an early 90s action film. So it was like that first one they saw before the Michael Bay and John Woo action films that already coming out in America. Now, John Woo is probably a bad comparison because he was already blowing the shit up in Hong Kong.
Oh, yeah.
He hadn't come to America yet. But Michael Bay is a good comparison. And guys like that started doing these huge action movies like Bad Boys and stuff that you would shoot a bullet at a wall and it would blow up. And you're like, what?
Yeah.
And
pretty much.
And Point Break doesn't dumb down its audience either. It's a very straightforward heist movie where, you know, we didn't talk about the plot yet, but basically there's bank robberies going on in the beach areas of L.A., right? Yeah, mm-hmm. It's in L.A., yeah. And so this young rookie cop played by Keanu Reeves comes in and he gets on the robbery force of the FBI to solve it. And so they put him undercover as a surfer because they think that these guys are surfers. They put together a idea that they're surfers through some things they found. And so he joins his group and he befriends Patrick Swayze's character, who's Bodie, is his character's name, and Keanu Reeves is Johnny Utah. You know, he's played the character John like 3 or 4 times.
Yes.
Johnny Mnemonic, Johnny Utah, John Wick. It's crazy. And so he befriends him, and he finds out eventually that these guys are the bank robbers.
It's
and
also the second time he's played an Ohio quarterback. The other time
the replacement
was replacements.
And so in the movie unfolds throughout a series of bank robberies and him trying to figure out what's going on. He comes across this other group that they think are the robbers because they beat him up,
yeah,
and Bodie saves him. And Anthony Kiedis of the Red Hot Chili Peppers is in there.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out they're not the robbers. So he makes a mistake and gets a man killed. And they want to shut it down, the FBI, the operation. But no, he knows he's close a little bit longer. And soon after, he finds out that this group he's been hanging out is the ex-presidents. And yep, that's what the bank robbery group calls themselves, as they wear a presidential mask when they go in to rob the banks. Mm-hmm. And they have a plan where they get out in and out in 90 seconds. And he's trying to figure out what's going on. And from there, you know, eventually, Bodie finds out that Johnny Utah is an FBI agent, and he falls in love with this girl who they capture, and he forces him to go on a bank heist with him after making him jump from a plane, yeah, and to give him that adrenaline rush. And I remember the tagline for this movie was like 100% pure adrenaline.
Yep.
And it is an adrenaline ride. There's some really great action sequences in it.
And he and Patrick Swayze at the time, he loves skydiving.
Right.
In fact, he made Gary Busey do it.
And Keanu Reeves still surfs to this day because of this movie, since he learned to surf. And so eventually, you know, he solves the crime. He gets the bad guys. And we're going to talk about the ending of the movie in a minute, because it's a really great ending. And so, but you probably seen Point Break. We just wanted to rehash the plot a little bit. But let's talk about the action sequence of this, because the tagline was 100% pure adrenaline.
Yes.
As far as performances go, Keanu and Patrick do great. I want to say this is an Oscar-winning movie. They're serviceable roles. They do what they're asked. A lot of character actors in the back just playing thugs and bad guys. There's nothing to their roles.
Yeah.
We have a pre-nutcase Gary Busey when he was still the Busey that could act. And,
yes.
And, you know, man, Busey, if he had not gone nuts, I don't know if he went nuts, he could have been such a great character actor. Anytime he was in a movie as a character actor, he really brought out a lot on the screen. He just has a presence about him to make mm-hmm. every scene more than it is. And too bad he just got kind of crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I liked his, you know, he had enough crazy in him, because you have to have a little bit, right?
Right.
You know, the opening scene where he's like, they stuck me with some quarterback, right, Johnny Unitas or something. And then he's like, the shit they pull. And he, you know, of course it's him. And he's like, well, get ready to go to SeaWorld. And he throws a towel on him and he jumps in. And he's like, woohoo! Then I'm like, oh, there's Busey. There's the little bit of Busey that I need.
Yeah. So, you know, good actors in this. The action sequences, though, is how this movie kind of sold audiences.
Yes.
100% pure adrenaline, as we said. And the skydive scene has made a lot of top 10 action sequences of all time list.
In fact, it was on MythBusters, wasn't it?
MythBusters try to prove there's two skydive sequences in the film. The first one is one where there's a sequence in the film where Johnny is chasing Bodie, and Bodie looks back at him. You know, Bodie sees him. He knows he's a cop.
Yeah.
But as far as Johnny knows, he has to play it off, because he has to hope that Bodie doesn't know that who he is yet. Mm-hmm. So he goes with them to do this skydive and has an awesome time and everything. And when they hit the ground, that's when he shows him that he captured Lori Petty's character, Terry, right? His girlfriend. And reveals, like, hey, I know you're a cop, and you're going to go do this heist with us, and you don't have a choice.
Mm-hmm.
So the second sequence in the film is they're trying to escape with the money, and he makes Johnny get on the plane with him and everything, because he's not going to let Lori Petty's character go until he has his money and he's out of the country. So they all jump out of the plane, and he still didn't give up the girl. So Keanu Reeves' character, Johnny Utah, just says, you know, fuck this. He jumps out the plane without a chute. And MythBusters want to prove that could he free fall with no chute and catch up to Bodie, to Patrick Swayze's character. And they proved that, while likely not possible, they did prove that if he streamlined his body just enough and the winds were right, it could have been possible.
Yes.
So it worked. And it's an amazing sequence in the movie. He catches them. They're yelling at each other, man, you better pull that cord. No, man, I'm ready to die. Because Bodie's character really believes it. And we're going to talk about him in a minute, what he's doing, and he's willing to die for it.
He'll die and, doing what he loves.
So they pull the cord, they land hard and everything, and he has a busted knee, Johnny Utah, from football, so he hurts his knee, and he can't catch Bodie, and he gets away. And then that leads, you know, to the end of the film, which is about a year later or so, we're assuming, and Bodie is in Australia chasing the 50-year storm to a major surfing event, but it's so bad that even the surfers aren't willing to go out into it. And he catches up to him, and Utah tells him, man, you got to go down, man. People died. You know, you can't just go on. And Bodie's like, you know, he's not going to go down without a fight. He's like, no, I'm not going. So he handcuffs him, and then Bodie's like, oh, that's it, man. I guess you got me. And he asks Johnny Utah, man, just let me go out there. Let me have one last surf, knowing he's not going to survive it.
Yeah.
And so out of respect, Johnny Utah lets Bodie go out there. The rest of the FBI shows him, oh, you let him go, man. No, I didn't let him go. He's not coming back. And you see the waves sweep over his character, and he died doing what he loves.
Yep.
And Bodie's an interesting character in this. Johnny Utah, Keanu Reeves, he plays a straight cop. He's going to do what's necessary, even though he gained a little bit of respect for these guys. But Bodie, man, he really has a spiritual belief in what surfing is and believe in what he does. And yep. He says it's not a crime to die doing what you love. He's willing to die robbing banks. He's willing to die because he believed robbing the banks, that he was fighting the system. He believed that's what he loved to do.
Yep.
You know?
That's all they were doing. They were fighting a system because it was, what is it? It's like a social justification.
Right.
Justified through the ends through the means. And I like the style of him doing it. I like the Reagan maskets. I think it's hilarious and awesome at the same time whenever he has the gas line, and he's shooting the gasoline, turned into a flamethrower with the match, and he's just like, does he have a cigar? Is that a cigar that he has in his, or is he holding?
I can't remember.
He's holding. I always picture him with a cigar for some reason. Yeah. He's like just has this Reagan mask on, and he's shooting the flamethrower everywhere, lighting all these cars on fire. I think it's awesome. So I got to give Bodie's ideology a little credit. He does it in style.
Yeah, and Swayze, man, I always liked Patrick Swayze. I always thought he was a good actor, and he left us too soon, of course. And he's like, he plays this role so cool.
Oh, yeah.
And I wonder sometimes, I would love to, if anyone's ever asked Keanu Reeves, did you learn to be cool because of Patrick Swayze?
Dude,
you
know? the man can dance, he can fight, he does his own action scenes, his own car scenes, and he knew a little bit about surfing beforehand, and
right.
He could skydive. He broke ribs while trying to surf professionally enough to be able to do this movie. So, I mean, he's a badass.
Yeah.
He is. He really is. He can be a champion of the women while still being a man's man. And that's hard to do, man. That's hard.
Right. You know, one thing about the ending sequence, it's interesting because Swayze has his haircut and Keanu Reeves is longer. And I wonder when it was, I would be curious to know if they filmed that 6 months later, because I don't think Keanu's wearing a wig in it.
No,
you know, if they came back and maybe it's one of those things where test audiences, maybe they had a different ending. I couldn't find any information on it, but maybe they had a different ending and test audiences didn't like it, so they came back and filmed that ending.
Well, remember, there was a writer's strike.
Was there a 91?
Yeah, so... So Caitlin and Cameron had to rewrite the end of the movie.
Okay.
I believe.
I do remember that Cameron
in the last couple months.
Yeah, and people know Catherine Bigelow and James Cameron were married back then.
Yes.
Yeah, and James Cameron helped with some of the script, even though he took no credit for it.
Yeah, they didn't take credit for it, but the writer strike did affect that, and that's why it's a little different. It probably would have gone a different way. You know, I could see them just getting away, and he shows back up at the office.
Right.
And, you know, they did want to make a Point Break, too. They were talking about it before he died, but...
Well, no, this was even before he died. This was back...
I thought it was late 90s.
Yeah, but Patrick Swayze didn't die until 2011.
That's right.
I remember reading there was a reason why they didn't make a Point Break too, and I think it was, well, because one, the original writer said, no, Bodie died, and we don't want to bring him back. But they said, oh, we can work around that he survived the storm. Mm-hmm. And but there was a reason why they never made it to. I can't remember. I'm trying to find it in my notes here.
Maybe it was Gary Busey, something with Busey. Probably something with the actors.
Oh, I guess it was, according to this, a real life death, but maybe they weren't going to do it 2 years later?
I guess that was it.
Because Patrick Swayze just died in 2011. You know what? I think I do remember that's why the remake happened. They were going to do a part two, and because the remake had been rumored for years, so it finally came out a few years ago. And maybe that's what it was. They were going to do a two with them years later. You know, because remember, that's been the thing since like 2008.
Yeah.
To do a sequel to a movie that's 20 years old. So maybe that was the plan.
That makes sense.
And what's funny is, they were originally going to call the movie Johnny Utah.
Yeah.
Which would have been weird.
Yeah.
You know, but then they came in, and Point Break is actually a surfing term for a certain way the wave breaks. And, you know, and which I'm glad they called it that, because this is a very 90s movie in the sense the way they talk. Like, they call girls babes.
Yeah.
You know, you made a movie now that called girls babes. They'd probably, they would cry sexism.
That's misogyny.
Yeah. You know, or something like that. There's a slight humor to the movie. Like, he goes, "Tell me some good news. I caught my first tube, sir." You know?
Yep.
like you said, the dark humor with the presidents. Like, the one guy who plays Nixon, and he's like, raises his arms, "I'm not a crook," you know? Yes. Even though he's robbing a bank.
I know, man.
And then at the end, the last heist, he's like, "I'm ready." You know? He's got, like, this dark humor to him. And there's some fun to this movie, too. And then I think
the thank you, and he moons the camera.
Oh, yeah. At the beginning of the film. Yeah, I forgot about that part. But just a fun, solid action film with really very, it's not perfect. There might be some flaws in it, but there's nothing majorly wrong with this film at all. Some different things about the film is that, I just lost my train of thought. Oh yeah, it was going to be called Johnny Utah when Reeves was cast in role, but the studio felt the title said little about surfing. And the studio wanted people to know that the movie was a surfing Adrenaline Rush movie, and they were even going to call it Riders of the Storm at once.
Really? Point.
But based off the Doors song, but then the lyrics had nothing to do with
Riders
surfing.
On the Storm.
You know, so that made no sense. So that's how it became Point Break.
I know Ridley Scott was originally the first choice to direct the movie. I wonder how that would have turned out. A little bit more dramatic, maybe?
Maybe. His brother, though, Tony, would have been a better choice as far as an action director, because Tony, you know, ruled it with action films.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, but other than that, what else do we have, some things about this film that people may not know?
So whenever he tosses his FBI badge in the water at the end, it was also previously done in Dirty Harry and in High Noon.
So
it's like kind of almost like a Western kind of or classic.
I think most people are familiar with Dirty Harry, but there are people that, believe it or not, have not watched High Noon. And if you haven't, it's one of the greatest character piece Westerns you'll ever watch in your life. It's a slow burn movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's about this sheriff in a town who is becoming corrupt, and he's trying so hard to be good till the end of the film. And he has enough finally, and he unleashes on the town in a great Western if you've never seen it. So I could see the compare a little tribute to High Noon. Not to say that Johnny Utah was, I don't think they were alluding he was quitting the FBI. I think at that point he was just done at that moment, you know, and he's like, you know what, Bodie's gone, I'm done for now, you know. Okay.
To circle back to what you said about thinking that they were going to make one earlier, you're right, 20th Century had made plans for a sequel to the film to be released in the summer of 93. A script had been written and was in pre-production, but all of a sudden, for reasons unknown, they decided to scrap the project. So it could be like what you said, they were arguing about how Bodie would come back or something
right.
like that, maybe.
And maybe it could have been a thing where at the time Keanu and Swayze both were like, no, we did it. It could have been a thing where one of the actors didn't want to do it. You know, because sometimes not everything needs a sequel. Just leave a movie alone, you know,
mm-hmm.
and that's okay. Matthew Broderick was almost Johnny Utah.
I saw that.
I was like, wow, I saw that. I'm like, I don't see it at all.
No. Ferris Bueller as Johnny Utah.
I mean, I would have seen Tom Cruise more in the role. An early 90s Tom Cruise than Keanu Reeves, you know. It's hard to imagine who else would have played Bodie, because I think Patrick's so good.
Yeah, I saw that Patrick was, I mean, well, obviously Patrick Swayze wanted to play Johnny Utah. He was eventually cast as Bodie. I can't see anyone else as Bodie.
No.
Of course, a lot of other people auditioned for Johnny Utah.
Val Kilmer also auditioned for Johnny Utah. Now, I could have seen Kilmer and Cruz. Kilmer is Utah. Kilmer is Bodie. Cruz is Utah.
I could have seen that. Yeah.
And don't think the Val Kilmer now, people. Think of Val Kilmer in the early 90s. The one that played Bruce
Tombstone.
Wayne
yeah.
in Tombstone. That Val Kilmer. The good Val Kilmer.
The good Val Kilmer.
You know, that guy, I think, could have done it. So some, you know, excuse me. So some different things about the movie there people may not know about. As far as influence today, I think that this movie is, I don't know if it's influential to the point where it maybe is turning action films we have today, but I'm sure there's directors out there that sat down and watched this film. I would think it's hard-pressed to think that the screenwriter of the Fast and Furious didn't watch this movie. There's some people that call Fast and Furious a remake of it. I don't see a remake, but definitely some influence from Point Break.
Yeah, some kind of homage to Point Break.
Movies like, what else has been recent? Adrenaline Rush movies that may have taken some cues from this film, I think. But it's not, I don't think it's not an influential movie like Enter the Dragon was, or Batman, or a couple of other movies we've done on the show.
Someone
so far
goes undercover, becomes one of them to
expose
something. Maybe you ever seen 8mm?
Oh, yeah.
With Nicolas Cage?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Very bizarre film.
Yeah, it was very bizarre.
But other than that, I think Point Break is just more of a cult status film. Maybe not the most influential film, but I think people still watch it today and they enjoy it. And maybe there's somebody out there who's a fledgling filmmaker that might take ideas from this film and go and roll with it, you know?
You know what would be cool? If they took Johnny Utah and now he's like a seasoned agent, kind of like how Pappas was, and he's like, they're like, we think there's these copycat people, or we think they're surfers, or they're skateboarders, like they were originally going to be. It was originally going to be skateboarders, not surfers.
Yeah, I remember seeing that.
Yeah, so a copycat gang that's trying to do it.
And that's the thing, I think that's why this movie works so well, too, is because it was going to be like a skateboarding movie, because we had a Thrashing and Gleaming the Cube, and there were some popular skateboarding movies in the 80s. And I think they wanted to make this more of a newer, what's the new happening sport in the early 90s?
Yeah.
Surfing was getting popular. Skydiving was getting popular. And I think that's why it works so well, because it's the first of its kind at that time. I remember Wesley Snipes had some movie where they did skydiving, but I think it came out after this, and that was probably influenced by this.
Yeah, probably.
But and I think that's what makes the movie hold up well today. And does it hold up well today? I think so.
I think so.
Yeah. When I watched it the other night, I was like, man, I still really enjoy this movie. And there's some action films from the 80s and 90s that don't hold up as well. You're kind of like, yeah, you get in and get bored with them. But this one's just really solidly done.
Yeah.
Very, very nothing. There's nothing boring about it. The movie flows really well. There's no downtime in this film.
It really isn't.
No exposition that's wasting time. And I think that's what's great about it.
One more little fact. So the same scene where they were playing football on the beach is the same beach that they played soccer in Karate Kid.
Ah.
That's the other
And we talked
fun
about
fact.
The Karate Kid TV series last week.
A little
tie
into last week's episode.
The Karate Kid.
Which is hilarious because, and, you know, whenever he tackles Bodhi and he's just like, you're Johnny Utah. What's going on over here? I thought they were going to fight. He's like, I know who you are.
Right.
You're that quarterback.
That's an interesting thing, because when I was watching it, you notice when he first meets Bodhi, he doesn't say anything to him for a little while.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of weird. And then he goes, I know who you are. It's kind of a weird, that had to be done on purpose in the script. Like, we're not going to have Johnny Utah talk to Bodhi for a few minutes in this movie.
Yeah, that would have been kind of weird. Like, hey, I'm the Ohio State quarterback.
Right.
Ohio State Buckeyes.
Because that's a point when he first is joining the beach trying to go undercover. So I guess he didn't want to say anything too much.
Yeah, probably.
But still an exciting film to watch today. And if you haven't watched Point Break recently, maybe revisit it. Enjoy it. We hope we brought you some new insight to a film that I really like a lot. And I'm glad I picked this one and wanted to rewatch it, because I hadn't watched it in a while. And I really like this movie. It's probably, if I had to pick 10 action films, I think this would be on there.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Easily a top 10.
Easy. Yeah. And then we got, and people forget, this was Keanu before he did Speed. I mean, he had a hit movie with Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. In fact, in summer of 91, Bogus Journey came out, which was not a huge hit for him, because it was terrible. So Keanu had a bit of a name, but this movie, I think, put him into the adult category. And then he made Speed a couple years ago, years later. And of course, Speed was a huge hit for him. And
Jeff Daniels, Sandra Bullock.
Yeah, and now we have Keanu Reeves reborn as John Wick.
Yes.
With Chapter 3 fixing to start filming in April for release next year. can't wait. I love that series.
Hey, maybe when he threw away his badge, he went to the Continental.
Yeah, and he became an assassin.
He has a good shot in that
movie. His name was Johnny Utah, and he changed John Wick. So John Wick is in the same universe as Point Break.
Ooh.
You heard it here on the Rebel Radio Podcast. John Wick is Johnny Utah reborn. I believe it, man.
I believe it. I guess it's a better theory than my Shane theory.
No, it's not. No. All right, so what news do we have to talk about this week?
Wreck-It Ralph.
The Wreck-It Ralph 2 trailer hit, finally. It seems like they've been talking about this movie for like 2 years. It seems like Disney announces these sequels, and it's like, okay, I know it's coming, but when? Like, we're finally got Incredibles 2 trailers. It seems like they've been talking about Toy Story 4 forever.
Yeah.
Wreck-It Ralph 2 forever. Frozen 2 forever. Not that I care that much about Frozen 2, but I know the kids out there are looking forward to it. Mm-hmm. But, man, I love the first Wreck-It Ralph. This looks like just as much fun. Going to the world of the internet, can't wait. I mean, I don't know what else to say about it. It just looks like fun.
I'm going to wreck it.
Yeah.
Hey, give me back my medal.
I like Wreck-It Ralph. My kids really like it
too. Oh, I do too. It might be my favorite Disney movie the last few years. Now, I haven't seen Coco yet, which I heard is phenomenal. But and I finally just watched Moana. I hadn't seen it, which is really good, but it's geared more, I think, a little bit more towards girls. But I really enjoyed Moana. I thought it was good. Mm-hmm. But Wreck-It Ralph might be my favorite the last several years. I know you're a big Hero 6 guy, but I like Wreck-It Ralph more.
I think over time, you know, I've liked Wreck-It Ralph. I've learned to like Wreck-It Ralph a little bit more. Whenever he's holding the cookie medallion at the end, and he's aiming towards the volcano, he's like, "I'm bad, and that's good. I will never be good, and that's not bad. There's no one I'd rather be than me." And he just closes his eyes, and everything turns out okay.
Right.
So. I thought it was interesting that they decided to go with Rex the Internet, but, you know, it's live in an internet era, I guess.
And so. I was thinking, and you're right, I was thinking, like, I kind of envisioned more Wreck-It Ralph almost like maybe a trilogy. I was thinking maybe he would go from, like, arcades to, like, home systems,
yeah,
and then the internet, maybe. Like, have Wreck-It Ralph end up in a Super Nintendo or something.
That would be cool.
If they had gotten Nintendo to work with them. But I guess you did have high-definition games in Wreck-It Ralph 1.
Yeah,
so.
You did have... Well, you had Street Fighter, and you had basically, like, a Halo
right.
remake. And... what you call it? We never talked about Incredibles 2.
Yeah, we did.
We did?
I thought we did on previous
Maybe episode. We mentioned it, but it's like now we have the new... Did you see the new trailer, the extended one?
I've seen it, yeah.
I think, man, they really. I guess they're going with the female thing. So missing, it looks like Miss Incredible Elastigirl is going to be like the main hero, and now Mr. Incredible has to be Mr. Incredible at home. And there is some funny stuff, but I wonder if it's going to be as good of an action film as the first one, like an action superhero family film like the first one was.
I, you know, when it comes to Incredibles, I know you're a huge fan. I guess I need to revisit it, man. My boy Ronnie at work, he's always like, "Dog, like, how do you not like the Incredibles?" I never said I don't like it. I'm just like, I just don't. I'm not a huge fan of it.
Why do we need to do it?
Yeah, right. I'm just not a huge fan of it. Like, I just think it's like Disney owns Marvel and all these characters and stuff. Like, did they need to make their own superhero family?
Well, that was
I guess because they don't have the Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's true.
But, I mean, I enjoy it. I just, like, I don't know. It's not my top Pixar films, you know?
It kind of reminds me of, like, The Watchmen or, you know, obviously every superhero registration act that ever happened in the comics. You know, it's happened in every comics.
Right.
And, you know, it's just cool that, you know, there's, like, another universe out there that, Basically, I liked how they make fun of the capes. That's pretty fun. Just the family aspect. What a superhero does whenever he's not a superhero anymore. Whenever, you know, the glory days are gone. You know what happens. So there's, you know, conflict, and you have this father that still wants to be Mr. Incredible, and he feels like, you know, maybe his life is, you know, without purpose now that he's not donning a cape, and he starts, you know, he goes out at night, sneaks away. Tries to scratch that itch,
right.
And ends up, you know, says, "Hey, you know, I'm Mr. Incredible. This is who I want to be." So he goes to the Syndrome Company.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. I mean, I'm sure I'll take Michael. He'll want to see it. You know, so I have no doubt I'll see it. This is one of those movies I'm kind of like, yeah, I don't get the huge appeal of it. I don't know. That's just me. And I love superheroes.
I'm not as excited for the second one. I thought, you know, there'd be a little bit more action in there, but you know what? You can only tell so much for a trailer. So I'm definitely gonna go see it. You know, it's just like every other movie that we're like, oh, I don't get right. why it's going to be like this. But you know what? I'm going
to
go see it.
And speaking of video games, Ready Player One hits at the end of this month, which yes. I can't wait for. And they release a viral site. And on that viral site at, let me see, jointhequest.io, which is the official website for Ready Player One, you can go play arcade classics on it, which is really cool. They have a bunch of old stuff that you might have played in the arcade back then. Because if you haven't read the book, it's very 80s and 90s influenced. The whole movie is, the whole book is about this guy who's grown up playing these video games and studying them and stuff to find this Easter egg hidden inside the world of the Oasis, which is a huge virtual video game world. Mm-hmm. And so if you're into playing retro arcade games, go check out the Ready Player One viral site. And apparently at South by Southwest in Austin next week, they have a building that they're borrowing. They recreated parts of the Ready Player World One. Ready Player One World. Tongue twister there. And you go in, and it's going to be a whole Ready Player One experience where you have different levels, and it's all going to be designed like in the movie for people that are going out to South by Southwest. I might actually be in Austin that weekend, but I'm not going near downtown. No. Not with South by Southwest going on. It's going to be too crazy busy. So check that out. We have before we get to download this and preview our next movie, a couple reboots being done. They are going to reboot Highlander.
No.
With they have a script, apparently, and a director. This is definitely one of those I'm like, why?
Yeah.
You don't know, touch Highlander. There's nothing wrong with the original. We just did a 90s movie, and we talk about 80s. It's very much an 80s action film, one that I'm 100% sure eventually we'll get to on Rebel Radio Podcast. And granted, Highlander didn't have any great sequels. They weren't very good, but the original is just a classic. You know, it starts with a wrestling scene. You have Christopher Lambert plays Connor McLeod, and it's just one of those I'm like, why?
And then Ramirez.
Oh, yeah, you can't replace Ramirez with Sean Connery. Where they're going to cast Diego Luna, maybe, I guess. Who knows? I'm just throwing a name. You know, not that he's a bad actor.
No,
you know.
No.
But I'm just... again, maybe this is like Star Trek. If you reboot it in the proper way or Planet of the Apes and it's done really well, maybe. Because they're calling this a reboot, not a remake.
Yeah, it's so hard to do a successful reboot.
Right. So we'll see. I'll give the benefit of the doubt. I can't think of the director's name because he's not real well known. So that's probably why I don't have a lot of confidence in it. I do know who's directing it. The guy who's doing John Wick 3. So he might make a good Highlander.
Okay.
It's the Crow remake we're going to talk about. That's why I don't know the director. That's right. Chris, whatever his name is doing John Wick 3, who did John Wick 2. He's doing the Highlander remake. So maybe. I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. On the other hand, let's talk about another movie that's being remade. The Crow. With Jason Momoa.
Man.
For years, James O'Barr has been talking up a remake, and he's talking about making it hyper-realistic, just like the comic. And that sounds great, because if they were to bring the comic book to life, I would love it. And that's the only way I would love it, because otherwise, don't mess with Brandon Lee's film.
Exactly.
Two, you have to have a director that you have faith in doing this, and an actor that is believable. The whole idea of Eric Draven is that he's an everyday man who falls in love, and they come upon some bad luck. They're killed. He's given another chance to right his wrongs. And everyone knows the story of the Crow. Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry, but Jason Momoa, he could kick anybody's ass, dead or alive.
Exactly.
He's huge, bulky man. So for him to play Eric Draven, and I just don't buy him as being tragic and disturbed and wanting revenge. Because this guy, he's I don't know. I don't buy him in the role. That's probably my biggest thing is the casting of it. The director is somebody I haven't heard of, so who knows. Maybe this one will fall apart. They've been trying to remake it for years.
Yeah.
Maybe it'll continue to fall apart. The curse of the Crow, as they say it, and it'll never get made. And that's kind of what I hope for. It never gets made.
I would rather see Ryan Reynolds or...
No, yeah, not Ryan Reynolds.
I would rather see Channing Tatum as the Crow.
They're just as bad.
I would just, you know, if you're going to mess something up, just go big. Just make it horribly bad to where you're like, I like it because it's horrible.
Yeah. I don't know. That's just not a good idea, I think. That's just me. All right. Well, that's the news briefs, I think, this week. I probably missed something because there's always news happening, but who knows? download this. Man, I slacked again. I haven't really watched anything. I watched Point Break. Man, what else did I watch? No, we talked about it last week. I finished Altered Carbon.
Yeah, you finished Altered Carbon.
I haven't...
I downloaded Crunchyroll last week.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be using it again this week because Dragon Ball Super episode 130 comes out today. Goku's going to master Ultra Instinct, and hopefully he saves the universe.
I guess we watched Moana with the family. I hadn't seen it, so I guess that's my download this week, because I did watch that, and that's about it, man.
Okay.
I've been slacking on watching TV.
Yeah, there was something.
But, you know, I've been just...
We're busy, man.
Yeah, you know, so, you know.
You put us together, we got six kids. That's a busy day.
Yeah, so our, so our next film we're doing on Rebel Radio Podcast is actually... two films.
Yes.
We are doing our first double feature. Every now and then, we're going to throw you for a loop. We're going to do a double feature episode where we talk two movies in one, and they're generally going to go together, and I'm doing all these hand things over here. Matt's looking at me like,
right?
Mark, stop moving your hands around. I can't stop doing it. See, I told you I'm influenced by Kevin Smith. He talks with his hands.
Yeah, he talks with his hands. Or you're Italian.
So our first ever double feature is going to be Terminator and Terminator 2 Judgment Day.
Yes.
Coming soon to a theater near you.
From a future where men must hide underground has come a machine wrapped in flesh who kills but cannot be killed. Arnold Schwarzenegger is Terminator. An assassin from the 21st century, sent back through time. His target is a woman who holds the key to the future. Her only hope is a soldier who has hunted the Terminator from the future into the present.
He's not a man. Machine. Terminator.
What does it want me?
It can't be bargained with. It can't be reasoned with. It doesn't feel pity, or remorse, or fear, and it absolutely will not stop, ever, until you are dead.
Arnold Schwarzenegger, in Terminator. Terminator.
Man, these films, obviously, Matt, Arnold Schwarzenegger is one of your all-time favorite actors.
Yes.
And I grew up watching Arnold films, too. Maybe not the big a fan as you are, but I love Arnold, too, in my own rights. Pre-Governor Arnold, the things he's doing nowadays, like, come on, dude, what are you doing?
Whenever he was first a governor, it's like, I mean, it was so awesome because he was the governator.
Yeah.
And he had just made
Terminator 3. His post-governor career in Hollywood's been pretty...
Yeah, it's, you
pretty
know...
pretty terrible, let's just be honest.
It's like, you know, he really didn't get a chance to keep up with his body whenever he was...
Well, that, and he keeps trying to take on these roles that he did when he was in his 30s, and he can't do them now. You just can't play action movies. He needs to... I don't know how... There's got to be... Maybe Tarantino needs to put a movie. Tarantino's good at resurrecting careers.
What,
I don't know.
What if he's like... He plays like this old cowboy bounty hunter thing... And he's like blowing people's heads off with a revolver. That'd be Arnold.
Something, yeah. But you know, but I love Arnold, and Terminator and Terminator 2 are probably two of the most influential sci-fi films ever made. Directed by the great James Cameron. Man, we were on an Oscar roll, dude. Spielberg, Catherine Bigelow, and now Cameron.
Yes,
dude. I mean, we're just rolling on Oscar directors. These movies need no introduction. Everyone who's anybody who's seen the first two Terminator films, and if you didn't see the other ones, that's okay. But everyone's seen the first two.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I'm gonna let you talk, man. These are your movies. You're a Terminator, Arnold Schwarzenegger guy.
Oh man, it's like the just everything about the movie. I mean, whenever you know, in the first one, you close, give them to me now. You know, and
he rips.
It's like, fuck.
He
you,
rips
asshole.
Poor Bill Paxton's heart out, man.
Yeah, man. It's so. It's freaking awesome, man. Just the way he was able to overcome his adversities, because he couldn't speak very good English, but you know what? He looked stone cold. He looked,
right.
I mean, he looked like a Terminator. If I mean, so Sylvester Stallone was asked, you know, could he have done that? And he's like, no way. You know, Arnold, no one looks as cold as Arnold does.
Right.
No one looks like a machine like Arnold does. And just, you know, the one-liners. It's just it's a simple line.
I'll be back.
Yes, I'll
Hasta
be back.
La vista.
Your clothes, give them to me.
And then Then the, you know? Then the sequel, which in Terminator wasn't a huge hit, but it had a following. And they did the sequel 7 years later with Terminator 2, and it was huge. One of the biggest sequels of all time. It was the first rated R movies to like come in and own the box office in the summer of 91. And a ginormous movie. And we're going to be talking the director's cut version of Terminator 2 because that seems to be the definitive version now.
Oh, yeah.
I don't even think you can buy the DVD now without the director's cut being on. I think the original is out of the way. So these two movies are obviously hugely influential. One of the first movies that ever really dealt with time travel in a way that I'd have to really research this for the show next week, but I don't remember any other major time travel movies before then. I know BBC had Doctor Who that dealt with time travel and stuff, but Terminator might have been the first big sci-fi movie in theaters that had like heavy-duty time travel. Or the H.G. Wells Time Machine movie, of course. You know, that's another one.
Yeah.
But time travel wasn't a big, you know, it's either you went to the future for science fiction, and that was it. You didn't do time travel for science fiction, you know. So we'll be looking forward to talking to that. I think that's going to be a fun one to do, our first double feature of Terminator and Terminator 2. I know Matt's excited.
Yes.
He's over there. If you guys can't see him, he's all like rubbing his leg and like, yeah, I can't wait to talk about Arnold. He's my hero. Oh, he gets me so excited. Dude, come on, Matt. You want to do your Arnold impersonation. I know you're going to do it next week, but you can give him a little bit right now.
I hope you're left enough room for my fist because I'm going to ram it in the stomach and rip out your goddamn spine.
There you have it. Man, and I can't think of a better way than to end the Rebel Radio with an Arnold Schwarzenegger impersonation. I just called it the Rebel Radio. I forgot the word podcast. Anyway, go watch 1991's Point Break. Hope you enjoyed the episode. Make sure you go to TrustMeOnJedi.com and follow us. Our new Twitter is Rebel Radio Pod. And soon to be the Rebel Radio Podcast.com. Yes. You can go there now, but it'll just say, this has been saved by GoDaddy.com because that's who I bought my URL with. But there's nothing to look at. You know.
Nothing to look
maybe at. I'll just put up a giant picture of a face or something. Yeah, I don't know.
Just like a big Mark face.
Yeah, until the meantime. And it'll be going,
like Jurassic Park.
Right. So thank you for always just listening. It's been Mark.
This has been Matt.
And until next time on the Rebel Radio podcast,
go there and do it.
Just go there and do it, man.
Bro.
Sam Jones, Flash Gordon, and this is Rebel Radio Podcast.
This is Chuck Huber. You're listening to the Rebel Radio Podcast. Stop being so awesome.